Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
It's Chuck and Chernoff. It's Chuck and Chernoff. It's 3 o'clock on the dot. You know what that means. It's time for Matt, Lana, and the King. It's Chuck and Chernoff. It's Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Driving home, Atlanta is a traffic jam. We've got Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. It's Chuck and Chernoff. It's Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan.
Indeed it is, as we get it cranked up in our 3 o'clock hour with Chuck and Chernoff. The 3 o'clock hour is all brought to you by This Stuff Matters. Listen to the new This Stuff Matters podcast posted at 680 The Fan's website right under the podcast header or at thisstuffmatters.net. Why don't we start the 3 o'clock hour by saying hello to Chris Mooneyham?
Where's your dad at?
He died a couple of years ago. Why don't we say hello to Dylan Short?
I sound like this.
I didn't hear that minutes ago. Are you okay now?
This is what I sound like today.
Shame.
I don't know how this happened.
I hope you battle through it.
I have done every trick in the book.
What a warrior.
We're going to go through a whole bunch of the interviews.
We are not going to do that, but we are going to let you know Chuck is on vacation. So Dylan, Mooney Cat, they're going to hang out with us until 6 o'clock. Then Dill, the up-and-comer, the rising star, the next generation of 680 The Fan talent, will be on 6 to 7 tonight, so you get an extra hour.
We're going to go through a whole bunch of the interviews.
We'll look forward to that in the 6 o'clock hour, which we should let people know. It was Braves Fest over the weekend, so you got a lot of interviews to go through. A lot of stuff to look forward to.
Is that doctored? That's not.
No, that was him.
That's the more frightening part of this.
That was him. He had a little bit of a voice, but he battled through, which is why he's the up-and-comer, the rising star, the next generation.
Not a lot that went right yesterday.
Let's talk about a couple of things from divisional round weekend. We are set for conference championship Sunday with the Niners and the Eagles. They will meet Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock in Philadelphia. Chiefs will host the Bengals Sunday night at 6:30. I want to start with Dak Prescott. Dak is the beneficiary of a cowboy fascination that he was built up to be better than he is. This is one of those times we get mad at the player instead of getting mad at everything around him for building up Dak Prescott. I always thought Dak was good. He had a couple of really good statistical years, but I never thought I could say, Dak, put me on your back and you're going to carry me to a championship. Yesterday was the epitome of that. But again, I'm not mad at Dak. Dak is what he is. He's an above average quarterback who sometimes can put up numbers. He's not going to elevate you. Everybody's mad at Dak today. Be mad at yourself for believing you thought Dak was this guy who can win you a championship.
I mean, it's the Cowboys. They do this to themselves all the time. I think Dak's talented. I think he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's the best in the league, but I don't think he's nearly as bad as some segments want to make him out to be. And I just don't think that he's top five.
He's an above average quarterback who I said can put up some numbers. And I guess I would add it this way. When you get the contract, Mooney, we all raise expectations because the money, and that's not his fault. He got the money. Be mad at the Cowboys. Be mad at somebody else for inflating him and doing the top five conversation. He was just never that.
Yeah, but you can win a title with him.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't buy it, no.
If the team is built correctly around him.
They have a great defense. That game was winnable yesterday in a way that if he doesn't...
Do they have a great defense?
Or do they have
really good positional groups on defense?
I think that front seven is championship caliber, and they were in Purdy's face all day. Here's how the Niners play. They wait for you to make a mistake.
Right.
They volley and volley, and they're like, all right, Dak will throw it to us. And he did twice. I think if the Cowboys played that way and ever actually dedicated to the run, look at they didn't even try. No, I know Pollard got hurt. They don't even try to run the ball the way they probably should and say, Dak, we're going to put less on you instead of having you throw the ball as many times.
Why don't you run with Dak? If you know that Zeke is not Zeke anymore, and by the way, I know he made that fourth down play, that run to try to keep it going, where they went jumbo load on one side and said, hey, just try to get me 1 yard. And why don't you just run with Dak? Zeke looks absolutely done at this point. It's amazing. He doesn't even look like an especially good backup running back. You remember what it was like for Todd Gurley when it just kind of where he wasn't Todd Gurley anymore?
When it ends.
It's the same thing with Zeke, man. Yeah. And you got to figure Dak is a big guy.
Wait, hold on one second. Everybody quiet. Whose phone is going off? I'm looking at both of you. I hear an alarm going. You guys hear the alarm going off in studio? Are you guys new? I know we're having you fill this can. Mooney, is this you? Somebody's alarm is going off in the studio, and there's going to be a major fine to pay. For what?
It's not me.
Wait, you heard it, didn't you? Trying to ignore it and do a professional radio show here. All right, back on track.
Let me give you one statistic to your point. Dak has not, and I think they did this during the broadcast last night. Maybe it was in the pregame. Dak has not gone consecutive ball games without a turnover. You know the one.
Oh, yeah.
Since 2019.
Can't win anything.
So to your point, maybe he can't win. I can't win a title
with a guy who doesn't value the ball. Can't do it.
You're right.
It's hard in the playoffs to overcome that. They're driving for a score, and he makes one of the worst reads ever on a double coverage that ends up turning the field back around for the 49ers. And remember, that's a 19-12 one-score game.
You've got to be better than 5 for 15 on third down as well.
All right, the other story was Mahomes and the ankle sprain. So Mahomes has a high ankle. I loved watching him fight verbally to stay in that game and not even go back to the blue tent or not go back to the locker room. He was like, I'll wait till halftime. And Andy Reid and the coaches and the trainers like, no, we got to go get you looked at. He came back in. He wasn't close to the same guy. The one thing I love about Mahomes more than anything else is he'll throw from any platform, any level, sidearm, underhand, whatever. He wasn't doing that stuff, which I wonder what this week is going to look like in the way of, I don't even know, like the machinery, the technology they're going to have, stimulation and all the stuff they're going to try to do for him to have him ready. What level is he at Sunday against, again, a hot Bengals team? Will tell the story for me.
And this is going to be, it's actually, I think, going to be kind of bad for the Bengals too, because even if you'd given me healthy Patrick Mahomes, I think this Bengals team right now, the way they're playing, I just don't think anybody's playing better football than they are. And then you're going to get sold if the Bengals do. And so, oh, well, it's because Patrick Mahomes was hurt. It's just going to take away from what the Bengals do. I don't know if we really appreciate how much of the Chiefs' success really is just Patrick Mahomes. Because if you take Patrick Mahomes out of that offense, what else are you looking at? You got Travis Kelce, and that's fantastic.
Oh, I agree.
But there's nothing else.
No, what they do is beautiful. We'll take your leftover part. Juju's not working here. Kadarius Toney's not working there. Jerick McKinnon's not working here. Seventh round draft picks their starting running back. He is the epitome of, like, makes everybody better.
It makes everybody better. It's amazing. Yeah. But how long can you walk that tightrope, too? I'm actually kind of amazed that this is one of the few times we've seen him get really injured, because he holds on to the ball for a long time. He's running around doing crazy things all the time.
And how weird is it that it happened in a pocket, though? That wasn't a scramble. That's just he's standing there and he gets his ankle rolled up.
The other thing is Cincinnati's defense. You'd be surprised, I think, if I told you the numbers from yesterday on the sack numbers, the tackle for loss numbers, and actually how many times they were able to get pressure on the quarterback, because it would feel as though it was so much more. They only had one sack, Cincinnati,
right,
in the ball game. They had eight. Let me make sure I've got it right here. Let me look it up. Eight quarterback hits. Only two tackles for a loss.
So that's
seemed like it was so much more because they were all over the quarterback, whether it was Mahomes or Henny in the short time he was in there
and I think
throughout the ball game.
I think the Bills are built very similarly to the Chiefs, where it's just all in the back of Josh Allen. Now, they also have Stephon Diggs, right, who's amazing. Yeah. But that's,
I misspoke, obviously. I meant
That's really about it,
we're
though.
Forgiven.
It's still all on the back of Josh Allen, just like it's all on the back of Patrick Mahomes. And if Patrick Mahomes can't be as elusive as we're used to seeing, and he can't, you know, do the crazy throws and just the ridiculous stuff that even Brett Favre wouldn't have attempted, then I don't see many ways that they come out and win.
See, I will argue only one point. I still think he's talented enough to be a stationary target and still be Patrick Mahomes. Not that same guy who's moving around. He'll find ways. Like, to me, when you're that good, you'll find ways. Well, we'll talk about it throughout the week. More important to me is, how sad is Buffalo today? And I mean this, I'm not joking. Buffalo, I was noticing yesterday, again, it gets dark there at like 3 in the afternoon. It's cold. It's depressing. That's all they have. No offense to the Buffalo Sabres. That when this Bills team, who in September and October, we all ticketed for Super Bowl, Josh Allen's going to win the MVP. This looked like the best team they've maybe ever had. And it ended like it did yesterday with 10 points. And Josh Allen, again, falling into some of those bad habits of just weird throws and awful completion percentage. How sad do you think it is? Like, do people show up at work on time this morning in Buffalo?
No, I think if you're a business owner in Buffalo, you give everybody the day off to recover.
Like a flu, you have a Josh Allen flu.
Can you win with Josh Allen in the playoffs?
Yeah.
It's still too early. Josh Allen's he's a stud. He's got to make better decisions. It's so early in his career, though. It's different than Dak. Dak can't elevate.
He's just better than Dak.
I know he's better than Dak, but
I'm just saying he's starting to show some of the same signs.
Let me ask you, do you think that the Panthers, if they had decided to put anybody of any talent around Cam Newton, would you have won with Cam Newton?
Well, they got to a Super
Bowl. They did win with Cam Newton. They got to a Super
Bowl. Okay, then you can win with Josh Allen. The same quarterback.
All right.
Tone violation on Dylan talking to Mooney that way. You noticed that, the tone right there? That was a tone violation.
Watch it.
Wow, that was a little much.
Listen.
Want to talk all about the football today. Mike Golic Jr. is going to join us coming up in 20 minutes to get some thoughts from him. Los will do some naughty numbers on it later. Do want to mention Braves Fan Fest over the weekend, and I will let the 3 o'clock audience know, if you want to hear the interviews, which were awesome, from Domino, Dylan, K-Mac, Wes Deanno was in there, from Snit to Double A to Ozzie to Ian Anderson, Mike Soroka, top to bottom. They're all on our app. You go to the 680 The Fan mobile app, click on the Braves Radio Network, and you'll see them all just in a line. You can go one by one and spend a ton of time digging into that stuff. There were some takeaways that I thought were pretty interesting, and I know, Dylan, you had a chance to talk to some of these guys. A couple of things. So I saw Justin Toscano from the AJC wrote that Ronald Acuna will be playing in the Venezuelan Winter League Championship Series. He'll DH. He's not going to play in the WBC, so make that very clear. He's going to get ready for the season with the Braves, but he will DH in the Venezuelan Winter League, and Acuna said he's feeling 100%. He's back to normal, and he said he definitely does not want anything to do with DHing, which is great news for all of us.
And that's what you love about Ronald Acuna. It's, no, I want to be in the field. I want to be myself. And this goes to a point, I think, for most baseball players, at least of anyone of any real talent level, nobody wants to be a DH. It's kind of a slap in the face a little bit. It's saying, yeah, you can swing the bat, but you kind of suck at the rest of the game. Ronald wants no part of that. He wants to be the true superstar of the team. And I can't tell you how excited I am to see him just healthy again and able to swing the way that we're used to seeing him swing.
I'll also say, just to let it go, to run, Alex talked about it. He said in the outfield he was hesitating.
You could tell.
Right. Yes.
There were so many balls that he could have got to standing up that he didn't even really need to dive for.
Just didn't trust
us. There were kind of that in between. Yeah. That one against Philadelphia. I know we talk about a different play from him with Philadelphia.
No, I get
it. But
yeah,
the worst play was kind of where you just let that ball from Castellanos fall right in front of
just
him.
Just did not have confidence to pivot on it and stop and start. Now, Ranger the other news. Mike Soroka said, for the first time in forever, he feels like himself again. He's a full go. He'll be on the same schedule, Mooney, as all the other pitchers come spring training. Ian Anderson said he's a full go the same way. That Ian Mike Soroka thing is going to be awesome. And spring training usually gets tedious, but to watch those two guys that at one point might have been a 1-2 type in a rotation are going to battle for the 5 in spring, that's fun.
Great guys. And look, it's important to have that depth. And I will one of them be left out? No one started the talk of maybe a 6-man at the front end. I don't know what the days off look like early, admittedly. But I think both of those guys are going to be back. They're both going to be sharp. They both feel very, very good. They're excited to go against each other competition, by the way.
If one of them pops, it's the deepest rotation in baseball. If one of them turns back into anything close to what they were, that's the best rotation depth-wise in baseball.
100%.
I think they both can, too. And that's my favorite part of it. Soroka also mentioning that he's training like an athlete again, which you know, every that makes Tom Glavine happy. That makes John Smoltz happy. A lot of the old-school guys happy. But Soroka looked fantastic. Also an offseason where he's kind of changed his mechanics a little bit. He mentioned that in the interview, where he's working on his extension and being closer to the plate when he lets go of the ball. Ian's been working out at the Wake Forest pitching lab, which if you don't know, that they've got a real big tie-in with the Braves, and really, really smart. So I'm excited to see what those guys do. And Bryce Elder, too. The Braves have some options this year.
It's time to wing it. Presented by WNB Factory. Serving up Atlanta's best wings and burgers with over 60 locations. Find yours at WNBFactory.com.
All right, our Monday megacast is well underway. I like it very much. The Winging It Idea answers will come to the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. I don't know if you guys saw the news yesterday that Splash Mountain at all the Disney parks closed for refurbishments. They're changing the whole dynamic of the ride. It's going to be Tiana kind of themed moving forward, but that's in 2024. So I want to know your favorite theme park ride. Your favorite theme park ride.
If you're 18 years old or over.
Space Mountain. I mean, it's still right up there now. I'm going to give you a curveball here.
Your mother-in-law.
Wow. That's not a theme park. I will give you Slinky Dog Dash, which is over there at Hollywood Studios at Disney. Wonderful, underrated ride. The kid in me gets a kick out of it every time.
If you say so.
Mooney?
Let me go next, because that way we can get everybody making fun of me out of the way, and then you can go, Dylan.
Again?
I don't ride rides, Matt.
Wow, you must be a joy at parties.
I do a lot of other greats.
When you even go to theme parks then?
You ever been to Six Flags?
Yeah, I take the... Oh, yeah, yeah. I love Six Flags. Okay, I like to do all the other stuff.
He's the person in the group that holds everyone's stuff.
I don't like getting up there at the top. I get the whole tunnel vision thing.
Tunnel vision?
Yeah, vertigo. I have a little bit of vertigo.
Have you been on the Georgia Cyclone or Scream Machine or...
when I was... Yeah. In the 80s when I was a kid.
All right.
Sorry.
Well, that's... I'm trying to do a bit here, Moni. You're not playing along.
You could have lied.
The Superman ride. That's my favorite. The Superman ride, yes. Right.
Very good.
The Superman ride is a lot of fun at Six Flags. I like the Goliath a lot at Six Flags. If we're going more just kind of fun and kitschy, the Hulk at Universal, that's fantastic, and we waited a very long time when it first opened to be able to ride it.
Thank you, Dylan, for playing along. Brandon Joseph, your favorite ride?
My sheet just says favorite ride, so I'm going to go with the new Kia Sorento.
And it rides like a f***ing dream.
Hop out.
It arrives awesome.
Yeah, go ahead and hop out for the hour. We'll see you at 4.
Turn down the highway. Boop, 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 boop.
Every time you hit that stuff, I get text messages, and I have nothing to do with it.
I'll cry about it.
Go ahead and hop out right now. See you at 4, BJ.
You're in trouble.
Dan Matthews, favorite ride?
The Rockin' Roller Coaster at Disney.
Aerosmith Fun. Brian Montravius Hoyt?
Seven Dwarfs, Mine Train.
You would think we'd have to change the name, huh? Even though it's a fun little, kids movie, but... It's a great ride, really is.
Seven Zinnos.
You'll send your answer, your favorite ride, to the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. Mike Gola Jr. joins us in 15 minutes to talk about Mahomes' high ankle sprain. The Eagles getting ready to host an NFC championship against the Niners. Joe Scheisty and the Bengals, all that in 15 minutes. Coming up next, though, if you're trying to determine if Desmond Ridder is the best man for the Falcons' job, you need to answer this one specific question.
Can cows get gonorrhea?
All right, then two questions.
Is the great, 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 great grandmother hot too?
That's the question. We'll answer it next. Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan on a Monday. Thanks so much for making this a part of your afternoon. With you until 6, and then it's Dill, the up-and-comer, the rising star, the next generation of 680 The Fan talent, who's actually in for the king today. Charles Undick. He's not a bum to me.
He's a bum.
All right. I'm not going to argue him. Dill is in. Also, Chris Mooneyham.
And he's a bum.
Wow. Domino just going after everybody today.
Bro.
The 3 o'clock hour of the show is brought to you by This Stuff Matters. Listen to the new This Stuff Matters podcast posted at 680 The Fan's website right under the podcast header or at thisstuffmatters.net. Mike Golic Jr. will join us in 5 minutes. We'll ask him about Patrick Mahomes' high ankle sprain. From a guy who I bet has had a high ankle sprain. You see, we'll go right to the horse's mouth.
And he's got an Audi.
Is that true about Gola Jr.? We'll find that out.
And I practically hung out with him at the Cancun airport.
I didn't know that either, Chuck. Kind of interesting. So I want you guys to answer a question. I have a couple of them. It's kind of a survey. If we're going to determine if Desmond Ridder is the best guy for the job for the Falcons, and I'm going to do this, and I'll tell you on the front side, all of this is completely unfair, but we're going to do it anyway. So you just answer these questions as we go along, right? Here's question one. Can Desmond Ridder do what Joe Burrow did yesterday?
No.
Okay.
No.
Mooney? Can Desmond do what Patrick Mahomes does consistently?
Nope.
No. No.
Can Desmond do what Jalen Hurts has done this season?
Closer.
Maybe?
Yeah, closer, but
Mooney,
no.
Mooney, if you don't turn your bleeping alarms off on your phone, another one just went off.
No, I promise you it didn't. I don't have one at 3:30.
Okay.
I'll double check.
There it is again. What, you hearing it again?
Just put it on silent, dude. It's not that hard.
It is on silent. I don't know what's going on.
Do not disturb. That's right. A note on your phone.
So we got a bunch of no's so far. All right.
Say that's a half no on the Jalen Hurts. He's not as powerful, but he can throw like Jalen.
All right, I'll trust you. Can the Falcons surround Ridder with what the 49ers have surrounded Brock Purdy with in the future?
Yes.
100%.
I will tell you, you're both crazy. To hit it the way the Niners have, it would be threading a needle in a way that...
Buddy, they took Trey Lance with a third pick.
I understand, and guess what they still have, pal?
Because they got the best, Mr. Irrelevant.
They also have the best wide receiver and skill group in the NFL. The best offensive mind, and I can argue maybe the best defensive coordinator in the league.
Now, I'll give you those.
But that's what I'm saying, though, Dylan. If the Falcons can do those things, can you find me the best skill group? They also have one of the best defensive fronts in the league. They have one of the more underrated offensive lines in the league. I'm not saying anything negative against Brock Purdy. Brock's got a very nice job.
So
don't mess it up.
I don't necessarily agree that the 49ers have the best skill group. I think what you're talking about with the lines, I think that's where they're just better than everybody, offensive line, defensive line. But I think if you can shore those two areas up, you don't have to have you know, stuff. You don't have to have Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, and all those guys. You can figure it out there. Like, I don't. Debo is a unicorn.
Debo's a unicorn. George Kittle's a freak show.
Like, is Ayuk that hard to find? Like, there's a million Brandon Ayuk.
But he's your fourth option.
Sure.
When you're giving me options of McCaffrey, Debo, Kittle, then you get to Ayuk. Then they use the fullback better than anybody in Juszczyk. So I just wanted to make a point that there are one of two lanes the Falcons can go. They can say, we're going to throw all of our assets at the game-changing quarterback that is MVP quality, that if we can go get one of those, we can say we don't have to be perfect all around him. Or they can do largely what the Eagles and what the Niners have done. Those two teams, the Eagles are stacked defensively. Offensive line, they're incredibly underrated, really good. Good skill position group. They have a lot of stuff around Jalen Hurts, where Jalen was MVP quality this year, but he doesn't have to be. Brock Purdy the same way. I don't know what the lane is for the Falcons, but I will tell you the easier lane is to go if something happens to materialize like Lamar Jackson, where you can go get that stud quarterback and it costs you draft capital and money, a hell of a lot easier than it is getting all that other stuff right.
No, you've got to go with youth. And we're going to get into this a little bit later in the program as well. Something that I wanted to talk about in great depth because of what you have seen throughout the playoffs so far this year. You stick with Ritter, you give him his shot. You concentrate on talent evaluation and getting the right guys in the draft. Stay young, save money until it's truly time to go out and find somebody or two or three somebodies who could be the big money difference makers to put you over the top.
And I'll agree with you. I think it's a lot easier to hit that lane where you find the franchise quarterback or you trade for Lamar and do all that. I'm not going to disagree. That's an easier pathway to go. But it's not a long-term success. That's why look where the Rams are right now. They traded everything they had. They traded their soul to get one Super Bowl. And now you got Sean McVay talking about retiring every other season. It doesn't last when you do that. Like, there's only so many Patrick Mahomes to go around. So if you can trade for the franchise guy, fantastic. But if you trade all those picks away, do you think that this Falcons team is a Lamar Jackson away? And what you're going to have to pay Lamar to keep him here long-term enough for you to win something with him. Do you think that that's what they are away from being a Super Bowl team?
So I'll put it this way. I don't believe in like that whole, like what you just said. Nobody's a player. The NFL is the most unforgiving league. The way things turn over in a year or 2 years. Are they a Lamar away? No, but they're a Lamar away from being legitimate. They're also at a time when they have a very cheap number one receiver and a cheap weapon, whatever you want to call Kyle Pitts. They also have the cheap running back. They have all three of those. You're not going to have that stuff happen very often where those things are cheap at the same time. And the way that the cap can be manipulated, Dill, that I think it's not just Lamar. You can manipulate it to add whatever pieces you want and say, we're going to go in and try to become that contender right away. I'm never one who believes in one player away stuff because the league in 2 years is different. You're like your turnover in 2 years is like we just got done saying the Falcons, they were 5 years ago, which is a
so much longer.
Might as well be 50 years. Their head coach is now a DC looking to get another head coaching job. The OC is taking his team potentially back to an NFC championship and a Super Bowl again. So no, are they a Lamar away? No, but you're a Lamar away from opening the door to other things, making you legit.
I won't disagree with that. I just think you could be better served by spinning that on the lines, doing what Philly and San Francisco has done. And then you don't have to be as right on the quarterback. If you don't have to hit that quarterback, just think of it that way. You don't have that's $100 million you're not having to spend on a quarterback that you can spend on the lines, that you can spend between two or three different skill position groups, or you can spend on your defense. I just think if you can hit it correctly, then I think that is the better model. The question of can you hit it correctly, that's a good one.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
All right, let me bring in a man who knows a hell of a lot more about this stuff than we do. Mike Golic Jr. played big-time college football. He's now talking about college football in the NFL. He's got a very successful podcast ranked in the top 50 in every country in the world. He He's kind enough to join us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Mike, it's a pleasure. How are you?
I'm good. Appreciate you guys having me.
So a couple of things we wanted to start with you here, and this is, I don't know if you've ever experienced the ankle injury, the high ankle, I don't know. What do you project with Patrick Mahomes? Because he's going to try to play. We know that next week. But just give me your best guess on how effective can he be? What are they going to try to do to mitigate the fact that he's not going to be 100% in a game of that magnitude against Bengals?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. Like, we saw Tordall trending during the game. So we all know what time it's about to be, right? Like, they're going to shoot him up. They're going to tape everything they possibly can, have some special brace for it. And then he's going to try and go, and he's not going to be able to move well because you guys have heard it enough at this point, as has everyone. The high ankle sprain is the bad one. It's the one with markedly less stability. I always tell the story. I had a good buddy of mine who was playing left guard for us at Notre Dame. Bad high ankle sprain. He was essentially like playing on a peg leg. And we played Boston College with BJ Raji on the cover of the media guide. And my buddy ended up playing in the NFL for 5 or 6 years. He was 4 plays on BJ Raji's draft day highlight reel from that game because he couldn't brace. He couldn't do anything about it. You're so much less than your normal self. And for Patrick Mahomes, while that doesn't mean he's got a brace against contact, it means that we're going to lose some of the extracurricular plays that have so often made that offense really successful when he can go off script. What I think they do as a response is actually pretty similar to what we saw them do in the Chad Henne drive in that game. Andy Reid quickly flexed and understood what to do to help that quarterback out. And it's a lot of what exists in that normal offense. You got to do a lot of motioning. You've got to do a lot of moving the picture around because you're going to have to do things structurally in that offense to hold the backside of the defense, to take some of the edge off those pass rushers, to find ways to keep the defense honest that normally Patrick Mahomes could just account for. Like, so much of the Chiefs' experience in this last year has been understanding what you can get away with shorting as an overall franchise because your quarterback can make up for it. You can let Tyreek Hill go because your quarterback can make up for it. You can have an offense that's built of receivers that all fit a slight role because Mahomes can make up for it. And now you're going to have to find ways to have the rest of that team pick up a little bit more of the slack because we're going to see Mahomes almost strictly as the pocket passer in this game, and it's going to require different things from that offense that I think we've seen recently.
And if we're going to see Mahomes in a battle of pocket passers, when you go to the flip side of that and you look at what the Bengals have been doing here lately, especially what Joe Burrow has kind of turned himself into, it's not going to be a fair judge since we're going to have an injured Mahomes. But if Burrow comes out here and he looks like he has looked, is that going to change the narrative around the NFL at all, that maybe this is Joe Burrow's league?
I don't think so, just because even when he's just in the pocket, I still think Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. I'm sure you could look up the metrics, and he's probably near the top. He's basically the top of any meaningful raw statistic, deep statistic you can have in the NFL. What I think is interesting and at stake in this matchup is this the Bengals AFC after this? And I'm not even sure I'm willing to concede that point with a healthy Mahomes, where with him as the starter, they've made it to the conference championship weekend every year. They've won at least 12 games every year. They've been to 2 Super Bowls and won one of them. And so they have been the owners of the AFC in the face of the NFL. But with Joe Burrow and this Bengals team, last year was as bad as they are going to be for some time. And while they went out and spent and improved the offensive line in the ways that we expected, we know that has defaulted now because of injury in the postseason. And it's gone back to Joe Burrow just being one of those difference makers. And so, no, I think Joe Burrow is probably firming up his place as the second best quarterback in the NFL through yet another postseason run where he's been magnificent. And we all know how much banking postseason success, especially early in our thought process and our worldview of players, goes such a long way in creating these reputations that will sustain Joe Burrow for the rest of his career.
Mike Golic Jr. is with us. The podcast is Gojo, along with DraftKings. You can get it wherever your favorite podcasts are found. He's with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line.
Mike, are we on the verge of deciding, writing the final chapter? Is Dak Prescott a guy that the Dallas Cowboys can win a Super Bowl with?
Well, I think he is. I mean, we've seen far worse quarterbacks than Dak Prescott win the Super Bowl, right? But what we are very clearly getting the answer on, and I saw Ryan Russillo tweet this one day, and I thought it was really, really smart. He said, "Twitter is a place where we read a book, and after every page, we try and decide whether it's the best or worst book ever written." And being the Cowboys quarterback is a lot like being that book. I think at this point with Dak Prescott, we've got enough of a sample size to say Dak's a pretty damn good quarterback. Certain years, he's been an MVP-level quarterback, and some years we know injury has changed that picture. he's not in the tier of Patrick Mahomes, of Josh Allen, of Joe Burrow, of Lamar Jackson. He's not going to affect the game in that way. And it's tough because in the next couple of years, he's going to be paid in that way. But that's a decision you have to make because quarterback is a really tough bet in this league. He's good enough to win you a Super Bowl, but he's going to need you to do more things right across your roster. It's not like Mahomes where you can let a great receiver go because you've got the quarterback to make up for it. Dallas now in this offseason has to continue to make sure, all right, are we fortifying and adding depth on our offensive line? Are we going to add a really another, I think, true number two receiver opposite of C.D. Lamb? How do we do with the Zeke Elliott contract that's now going to come to a head again this offseason in the wake of the injury that you have in that backfield? And so I think it puts an extra premium. And I heard you guys talk about the overall roster building. That's sort of the conundrum for a lot of teams in the NFL right now. For Dallas, it's a lot more about the whole picture because Dak Prescott's not going to be a quarterback at this point that's going to singularly will you to a Super Bowl. And after watching Josh Allen this weekend and what happened in Buffalo, there really aren't that many quarterbacks that can do that south of Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I wanted to ask you, that's a perfect segue. You're like, Golic does this, you can tell. Mike, what do you think happened there? Because, you know, and again, that's a great way to look at it. Like in September, we said we'd give him the championship now. We all thought the Bills were far and away the best team. What changed throughout the year? Because he got into some of that old stuff habit-wise where there was some bunch of forced throws, the accuracy was down. What changed for Allen, and what do you think needs to change?
Bill's offensive line underperformed, and I think the defense especially had a lot of physical regression as the year went on. That was a banged-up group defensively. We know, first and foremost, the bet that they made for the postseason this year was we're going to bring Von Miller over to do exactly what he did for the Los Angeles Rams. And lo and behold, Von Miller came over and was doing exactly what he did for the Los Angeles Rams. He just got hurt, and the rest of the players that they have drafted there have not yet developed and may not develop into the place they need to go and hold that down. Injuries at the second level, especially in that safety room, took its toll down the stretch of the season. And then offensively in front of Joe Burrow, after his elbow injury, things got different. And I think what I saw this weekend and down the stretch of a lot of the season was a quarterback that kind of looked like he was out there on an island. Like they never really have developed a ground game around him. The offensive line has struggled to protect him at different times. And to be fair to them, protecting quarterback like Josh Allen, that's going to buy time, that's going to play deep into the play clock, all these things that make it tough as a former offensive lineman to always be able to go out there and do your best job, but it's high risk, high reward, that adding up. And then outside of Stephon Diggs, you know, as much as Tony Romo loves big play Gabe Davis, he's not a consistent enough number two for that offense to affect and change with the way that defenses are playing teams like them, teams like the Chiefs, teams like the Joe Burrow-led Bengals. And so all those things led to Josh Allen feeling like he's got to play hero ball, play in and play out. And he's capable of that very, very often. But when you get to this point, the divisional round where we're talking about the, you know, six best teams left and now the four best teams left and a couple of others, those things start to show up as not sustainable, especially against someone like Lou Anarumo on the other side, who put together such a quality game plan and has showed himself that's the kind of coordinator he is in this league. He's been able to affect games like that going back to last year.
And Mike, you heard us talking before we brought you on about the difference in the roster building. We're going to get a really good example of that, a really good battle of that between the AFC and the NFC, is that both sides are kind of representing each view. Just in your view, former lineman, which style is more successful and which one is easier to implement? Finding the guy at quarterback to count on just making everybody better, or the approach of, say, the 49ers and the Eagles of shore up every other position and then you don't have to find a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen or a Lamar Jackson?
I think it's always going to be easier just mathematically to find one guy. And in this day and age especially, I think it's important to note, because of the way that the college game has changed, and that's because of the way the high school game changed, where now we're getting more and more guys who occupy this dual threat space that used to be a category on Rivals and all the scouting websites. It's now just kind of ubiquitous with quarterback play. It's much harder to find quarterbacks coming up the ranks that are just statues and pure pocket passers. And so you've got these guys that can do so many things and can solve so many problems for you early on, that also lessen the need for you to get everything else right. Because think about what San Francisco has gotten right. On the defensive side of the ball, they've likely got a future Hall of Famer at defensive end, a future Hall of Famer at Mike linebacker. They just drafted a guy who looks like the understudy of Troy Polamalu in the secondary. And then offensively, you've got maybe three or four of the most versatile pieces in the entire NFL. Very few teams have the scouting department to get that right consistently across so many positions and have their coach in the right place. It's a lot easier to bail everyone else out with a quarterback who can come in and save things, and then you can get everything else kind of right. So I think in general, that's still going to be the easiest way, but it all serves to underscore just how impressive what John Lynch in San Francisco and what Howie Roseman in Philadelphia have managed to do with these rosters around that position.
Wrapping up with Mike Golic Jr. here on The Fan. Mike, before we let you go, we'd be remiss if we did not ask for the 30-second, 10,000-foot view on a national level of the Falcons. What'd you think of the season?
You know what? They made it fun, even if it wasn't always good. Right offensively, what Arthur Smith was able to put together there, maxing out what you were going to get at quarterback on this roster this year. So I understand we all at the national level fantasize about Lamar Jackson and something like this offense, how much fun it could be with the creative rushing attack there, and then hopefully making better use of weapons like Kyle Pitts, who for such long stretches seemed to go missing there. Atlanta's got a lot to work on and a lot to fix. And to your point, I heard talk about the offensive line. I think you've got some pretty good young pieces in there. I think you've got some things that you can get excited about, but quarterback's only going to be one part of the whole. And certainly, like we said, landing the big fish there could make a lot of the rest of those conversations easier and soften that blow, but still definitely a ways away right now. For a team in a division that is infinitely winnable at its current juncture with how all these teams are kind of all at a turning point roster-wise in the NFC South.
You're being nice about the division, and we appreciate it. The Gojo Pod, DraftKings presents it. You can find it wherever your favorite podcasts are located. Mike does a great job. Mike, we appreciate you spending some time with us. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
Very much. There's Mike Golic Jr. with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line, breaking it all down. All right, coming up next, this weekend, you can make plans to be at the exact same place at the exact same time.
Uranus?
Oh, we're doing space exploration? No.
In your butt.
That's it. There's where we're all going to be. We'll talk about it next. Chuck and Chernoff on The Fan on a Monday. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're with you till 6 o'clock. That's when the Front Row's Audio Fun Bag will follow with Dylan Short, the up-and-comer, the next generation. I'm doing the intro.
What did you just do?
I love
stepping on your intros.
To Hoyt?
Because it's so great.
He was explaining to me that his wife has a freckle on her left boob, and I was like, yeah, I've seen it. I described it. He was very shocked at how I knew that.
It's more of a mole.
It is moly.
Yeah.
Moly.
Mole.
What color is it, Matt?
I did tell her. It's a fleshy color, but I told her to have it looked at.
Yeah. Not fleshy, it's brown.
I know. What's changed over the years?
It's a mood ring.
All of a sudden, somebody's not in such of a jokey mood.
Mr. Serious.
We're just doing a bit. Lois has seen my wife's boobs. It wouldn't surprise me if Matt has too.
There's a lot of us who have seen that. But she's got a really beautiful face, everything. She's a wonderful woman.
Wow.
The voice, she's a saint for putting up with Hoyt.
You're not wrong. The voices you're hearing there are Chris Mooneyham, Dylan Short in for the King. It's Chuck and Chernoff with you till 6 o'clock on The Fan. If you want to stay connected to all the latest news going on in the sports world or your favorite fan shows, you can do it with The Fan app driven by Beaver Direct.
The Beav.
That's right. Beaver Direct, the fastest and easiest way to shop online for your next vehicle. Visit BeaverToyotaOfCumming.com to see what
wow
really means. Download The Fan app now in the iTunes and Google Play Store.
Ooh, naughty numbers.
The man that knows the cap, bonuses, and all of that. He's the one that gets you cut. Front office, don't give a word. He's the guy who knows the law. Can't put him against the wall. He's the guy with all the answers. Matt and Chuck are backup dancers. Front office, knows it all.
All brought to you by Entry Point Doors and Windows. It's time to do that big project. We had somebody walking around our neighborhood trying to sell us windows. They weren't Entry Point Doors and Windows. Work with somebody who's done this work for over 20 years. Window and Door Magazine's Dealer of the Year. Entry Point Doors and Windows. EntryPointAtlanta.com to get that free estimate on changing your entryway. and the window situation in your home. Matthew, let's start right here. Same round, same place. We're going to have another matchup, and unfortunately, not awesome for Atlanta. But the Bengals ended up beating the Buffalo Bills. They will now face the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game for a second straight year. This is now the seventh time where we've had back-to-back matchups. The last time, you got to go back over a decade when the Ravens and Patriots met in 2011 and 2012.
Yeah, the bummer is Atlanta's not even in the playoffs, and somehow we got the short end of this stick. Selfishly, I wanted that game here, but it's hard to argue watching Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes do it again.
Yeah, let's talk about a couple of the grades out there. How about this number from ESPN Stats and Info? Because you know it, you feel it. Patrick Mahomes wins a lot. Well, over the last 5 years, including the playoffs, he has 72 total wins. That is the second most in a 5-year span in NFL history. Tom Brady, number one. He had 77 wins from 2003 to 2007.
Isn't it interesting, too? We'd only been, like, acknowledge stuff like that because we get down to when you're Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady to winning championships, and now he's got another element to overcome with the high ankle sprain. But he's got a home game. You know he's going to play. He's two games away from adding what we all thought Los was going to be the beginning of that dynasty a few years ago, and they still haven't gotten the second one, so here they are again.
So here's another number when we talk about the greatness of these two young quarterbacks. Joe Burrow, this from ESPN Stats and Info as well. He's joined Russell Wilson with 6 and Ben Roethlisberger with 5 as the only starting quarterbacks to win the first 5 playoff games in their first 3 seasons. He's also 3-0 in playoff road starts. That is a dude who's just cool. He's just good, man. He's just cold when he gets out there.
Well, I've said it over and over. He doesn't care about, like, stuff that other quarterbacks would care about. He was without 2 starting offensive linemen, 3 if he dated back several weeks. Doesn't care about going on the road. He's showing you that over and over. Doesn't care if he's the underdog. Like, I think he likes it. You saw his quippy little line at the end of the game about offering refunds to the folks in Atlanta. He loves this stuff.
Oh, he likes wearing that black hat. And also his comment about, well, how long is your window open for a championship? Like, as long as I'm playing. That's just great.
So, but that's a badass quarterback that you want that believes. Because, hey, Los, if I said, start ranking the top 5s in the NFL, and I don't know that he'd finish in the top 5 of any of, like, mobility or arm strength and all this other stuff. He's just good at everything, though.
It's, to me, it's that anticipation. Like, he sees the play before it happens, and he has all the tools to get it there. There's so many times where his receiver will come out of the break, and the ball's there, and it's a huge play. Yep. He just sees the game differently than a lot of guys out there. And I'll give you another example. Next Gen Stats had this information on Joe Burrow. So when you want to talk about time to throw and pressure rate, Burrow got rid of the ball so quickly yesterday against the Bills. 2.5 seconds, which ended up translating, he was only pressured on 21.6% of his dropbacks. Compared that to Allen, who held it for 3.2, almost 40% of the time, the pressure was able to mess with him.
And he was 9-for-9 to start the game. They have a 14-0 lead almost before you could blink. The numbers after that were sort of pedestrian, but they had such a margin for error at that point. Nice working lead that he didn't have to be as perfect.
How about a bummer for a Saturday night game? The Eagles and the Giants ended up being a huge blowout victory. This from OptiStats. Just to give you an idea when these three teams met, because you know there's always a talk. How do you beat a team 3 times? It's impossible to do this. So the Eagles beat the Giants 3 times this season by a combined 63 points. That's the largest scoring margin by an NFL team in a 3-game sweep since 1929.
I don't know how to rationalize the Daniel Jones we saw a week ago against a much less pass rush in Minnesota, but he looked so poised, so in control. And the Daniel Jones we saw Saturday night, I was fully convinced he had made himself a ton of money. And a week later, I wonder how much he made himself.
And how about the number here with the Eagles? They were able to rush for 268 yards. That's the second most in a playoff game in franchise history. And they recorded 5 sacks, had pressured constantly. That's going to be a fun game when they get to play the 49ers next weekend. Now, let me give you a Niners note, because I went into that game watching as a Cowboy fan saying, the Niners are the better team. They're the hot team. And you just got to kind of keep it close and hopefully win in the end. They were not able to do that. Here's the number, though, from OptiStats. Last 12 games for the 49ers. They're all wins, and they haven't committed more than 1 turnover. They are the first team in NFL history to win 12 straight while having no more than 1 turnover in each game, regular or postseason.
So it's so interesting you bring this up. I was watching that game yesterday thinking the same thing against Seattle. They're a tennis player who will just lob and volley with you until you end up making a mistake. Remember, against Seattle, Seattle's driving deep into the third quarter, Los, with a chance to take a lead before a Geno Smith turnover, and then the game got away. If not for the 2 Dak turnovers, one's in the red zone, who knows what happens? It didn't feel like, with the exception of 1 drive, that San Francisco was really pressuring Dallas in that game, and they just waited for the mistakes.
And the mistakes, that's what they're waiting on for you to do. You're right. It's almost a lob and volley game where you will mess up before we do. And Dallas messed up on two opportunities, and that was the difference in the game. How about this one from OptiStats as well? This one was going back, and it's a lot of fun here. This is a note from November 9th of 2019. Over the last 10 seasons in college football, there's only been one matchup of Power 5 quarterbacks where each one of them threw for 250 yards, three touchdowns, and also rushed for a touchdown while also getting at least 50 yards on the ground. That was Jalen Hurts versus Brock Purdy. Oklahoma gets Iowa State. How funny is that, how that comes together, that symmetry?
We've been talking about this today, and I think it's going to be an interesting talking point as the Falcons and the Falcon fan watches divisional round weekend, Los. I said you got to pick a lane, right, as a Falcon fan, hoping that either you go big after the quarterback, i.e. Lamar Jackson, or you're confident enough in everything you can build around them, like the Eagles and the 49ers, where you either have a dominant D-line, great O-line, outstanding skill weapons, and difference-making coaches, because Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts are good quarterbacks. We've seen that. But everything around them is so good, they don't need to be great.
And again, guys on rookie contracts.
Yep.
And so until they get paid and you have to start making adjustments to the rest of your roster, you get the benefit of loading up offensively and defensively for a good three or four seasons and being good on both sides of the football.
Yep. And again, you either have to decide, do we think we can do all those things well, or do we think as we have cap space and draft capital, we can go trade for that guy?
Here's your bummer for Mike McCarthy, who has had a winning record in the playoffs, has his Super Bowl, but he has lost to the 49ers now in 2012, 2013, that's with the Packers, and then 21 in 2022. That now ties him with Tom Landry, who also had that many losses versus the L.A. Rams during his coaching history.
Yeah, with some weird losses and some weird finishes the way that works. Now, you're a Cowboy fan. I know the Sean Payton rumors, I'm sure, took about 5 minutes after that game. How serious is that going to get?
They've long wanted him, but I think about the draft pick compensation. If it's true that he really wants $25 million a year to coach, you know what? I don't know. There's no cap for this, Ben. He is a difference maker, as you've pointed out as well. I just find that number, when you're looking at the rest of the league, is right around 10 to 15. Going to 25 sounds kind of insane.
It has a little John Gruden to it. And I'm not saying Sean's not better than John, but when I saw the compensation that Gruden was getting, I said, I don't know that it's going to be able to live up to what you're giving him. I think the expectation level would be so insane that he'd never be able to live up to that.
How about two last notes for you as we finish up Naughty Numbers here? Next Gen Stats over from Amazon. They had an interesting note on Brock Purdy. Of his 214 passing yards, 177 were on in-breaking routes. That is what they do more than anyone in the NFL. If there's anything Kyle Shanahan has made it a point, he wants the quarterback throwing to people that are coming towards him, not going away from him. And we're now seeing it again within this offense. Also, for a trade looks so massive, and the 49ers were kind of stuck right around 500 at the time, the Christian McCaffrey deal is now paying off. He's scored touchdowns in 8 straight games. That is the longest since Terrell Owens did that back in 1998.
That's why I said I think they have the best skill position group in the NFL. With Ayuk turning into the player he has with Debo and McCaffrey, and people forget about Juszczyk, and we know how good Kittle is.
Kittle.
I mean, Juwan Jennings is like a fifth weapon that they never even throw to. So it is a embarrassment of riches around Purdy, and I like the number there because that's Shanny playing to what his guy does best and not asking him to do stuff that he's probably not capable of. Give the Dallas Cowboys credit, too. They were in his face constantly yesterday.
Yeah, they were able to pressure him. Ultimately, though, it almost feels like you're having to defend, again, peak like 2016 Falcons, where which weapon are they going to go to?
Yep.
And they're so multiple that even when they have Debo on the outside, suddenly he motions in and he's a running back. Your entire defense has to go, wait, who's covering who? It changes the schematics of everything, and that's what Shanny gets to work with now. Them's Naughty Numbers.
Los, thank you. Coming up next, increasingly, it's becoming the recipe for success in the NFL, and the Falcons have many of the ingredients already in the pot. We'll cook up the meal next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com and then call us for a free in-home consultation.